This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, Ukraine Conflict, Six Capitals, Six Points of View. Professor, Washington is not one thing. Now we have voices in the Republican Party, they've been there for some time, making it very clear that not only no more blank checks, they're asking the President of the United States, the Biden administration, to say, what is the plan? All of these weapons, all of this money, all of this, as long as it takes support, where is this going? Show us the win. And that is a demand at this point that is rhetorical, but it can come to a fight in Congress. What is the, there is no one D.C. point of view, but what is the Washington point of view right now from the Biden administration that's making the decisions about arming or not arming Ukraine with what it needs?
Well, the Biden administration is the riddle wrapped in a mystery and all the rest, and we don't really understand how it works. But Biden does have a kind of an instinctive reflex reaction, which is that if there is aggression here, that we have to resist it. He didn't have that position on Vietnam and various other things, but he seems to be really the most in the administration, the only person who has some sense of how high the stakes are in this war. Yet the parties should be united on this. And the reason they're not is that after World War II, we never came up with a mechanism for declaring war or for the Congress having an input on war, and no demand. It's interesting, in the Korean War, the Congress started going after the president, saying you've got to have a declaration of war or something, and then they got tired of it. And when the president shut down Youngstown Tube and Steel, there was a very, very important Supreme Court case that found that Truman had exceeded his authority, but that didn't come until after the war had ended. And since then, the question of how the United States declares war has been something that the jurists and all, they can't agree on, yet it's very important. And this is an example. And what we have now is not enough information, not enough sense of the real stakes in the real world. And then even for the, I would hesitate to call someone like Blinken or these people hardliners, but even for the sort of the hawks, even for the people who can understand how Stoltenberg's mind works, there is, as General Hodges says, this escalation paralysis. They don't want to lose, but they're afraid of winning. And that means they say, well, let's go on. I mean, it's as if you say, well, this saucepan of milk is on the gas ring. And if we leave it, it may boil over. And then someone says, well, if we take it off, it may get cold. Let's just leave it there. Whereas probably the right decision would be to say, look, rather than wait till it boils over, let's just take it off now. Right now, I think we have the prospect of a push for which most of the arms and the men and the plans and everything are in place. The Russians seem to have no counter plan. Let's have the push and win the war. And I promise you, if Biden were wheeled into a joint session of Congress and he said, well, the Russians have agreed to withdraw unconditionally, and what a great relief that would be for everybody. But as Ben Hodges says, and I mentioned it before, escalation paralysis. And the reason is that this Democratic administration does not understand war, and they don't understand what causes war. I would argue that the Secretary of Defense, Mr. Austin, he's not Douglas MacArthur, but he at least has some idea of, if you're going to fight a war, these are some of the things you got to have in your truck, you know, before you set out. You know, it should be gun, ammunition, you know, this kind of thing. But much of it, remember, we have very, very few veterans of war now in our government. Most of the people who are handling strategic and military issues are, in fact, people in their 30s who've taken sort of advanced international relations, as Johns Hopkins or something like that. Whereas the people who you know, served two tours of duty in Vietnam, or the people who were the soldiers in all of these ridiculous operations we've been engaged in around the world, whatever we do. There, we don't have people working about war who have both the intellectual knowledge and insight, and also the personal experience to be able to make the decisions. So I think that we may get some real trouble from Washington. But if that happens, it's not going to solve the war. It's just going to make the war even more dangerous, because the Ukrainians aren't going to give up. I mean, they're you know, if they discover that someone's let the air out of the tires on their car, they don't surrender. They say, God damn it, we're going to go find that guy and kill him. Whereas in America, you know, it's the slightest thing. We have so-called microaggression people talk about in our universities. Well, this Ukraine, this is macroaggression. This is aggression big time in violation of all international law, going back to Justinian. And if we can't deal with this, then we're in bad shape. And I think the thing to remember is that we are in bad shape, but we can still do it. This can still be won and terminated successfully, but we have to follow lessons from history and not try to make it up as we go along.
The North Vietnamese launched the Tet Offensive in January of 1968. At the end of March 1968, Lyndon Johnson, who was expected to run for re-election, withdrew from the contest. The expectation was that withdrawal would lead to a Paris negotiating table and an end of the Vietnam War. Instead, the war continued until Saigon was dominated and conquered by the North Vietnamese army, leading to decades of deprivation and poverty for the people of Southeast Asia. Is that an analogy of where this could go, Professor, in Ukraine?
Well, just hearing you say that scares me very much in the pit of my stomach, because as who I am, I want the side of freedom to do well. And I'm not being simplistic, as is quite clear to anybody who visits Vietnam. There's a big difference between what the Saigon government was like and what even the present government is like. And I've been all over Vietnam. I know some of the people who were involved in our restoration of relations with them and so forth. Vietnam was an example of scripting, and the Tet Offensive, the North Vietnamese believed was going to end the war.
Right.
They surfaced even their most deeply concealed assets, intelligence and military assets in South Vietnam, because they had tapes ready to broadcast from the radio station and Saigon and all the rest. And they had a national uprising. And in fact, judged militarily, it was defeated. The most you got was a couple of North Vietnamese running around inside the U.S. embassy and one American embassy employee fleeing to the upper story of his house.
I follow you, Professor. And the President of the United States stood down. We're now in a presidential cycle. The President of the United States is said to be announcing his reelection plan soon enough. Does the reason I mentioned the parallel is, do we expect this president to prosecute the war for the next 2 years for his reelection, as we expected Lyndon Johnson to prosecute the war for the next 2 or 4 years for his reelection? He did not. He chose another route. The route was a catastrophe. But in any event, do we expect Joe Biden's administration to continue the support of Ukraine until the election of 24?
Well, that's an excellent question. Johnson behaved in a way that was characteristically Johnsonian, but led the United States into a disaster from which we're still recovering. Biden, I think, I'm not going to rate him behind Johnson, but they're down in the below the 50th decile of American presidents, for sure. I would expect that Biden has committed himself so much, and even people like Blinken, they've really said we're going to be with you all the way, that they have put themselves in a corner, which means that they're going to have to prosecute the war. And I certainly hope they do, but I hope they actually prosecute. They really fight it and win it. We could do that in a few months.
Escalation paralysis, Professor. Then the war grinds on for 2 years. Let's turn to Beijing, watching very closely. Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, coming on Ukraine conflict. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.